Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Riverfront Bengals Show, episode 44. I am your friendly host, most times friendly, Joe Farsing. To my right, to my left, your screen right. I can never figure that out. I've been doing this show for almost a year with Nate before, and I can't get my left and my right because it's backwards. Anyway, next to me, Greg Neiman. Greg, what's going on, brother? How are you this week?
Living the dream. How about yourself?
I am awesome, man. It is 1 week closer. Reds are still lingering in the conversation right now. They're tied for the last wild card spot. So again, you know, they're staying relevant. And again, just stay relevant until kickoff. Until
they've done their job.
September 10th.
Yeah, they've done their job.
Exactly. Good job, and we appreciate it. So before we get going here, just a quick bump for our sponsor, SeatGeek. Excuse me. Well, I couldn't be more pumped to partner with the folks that give you the best prices and the simplest platform out there. They score each ticket to let you know if you're getting a good deal or a bad deal. Green, good. Red, bad. You go to buy a ticket and it's got a red rating on it, then someone's trying to screw you over. Leave it there. Our viewers and listeners get $20 off their first ticket purchase with our code Riverfront. One word, R-A-V-E-R-F-R-O-N-T. Use the link in the description. And if it's on YouTube, it's in there. And if it's, it should be on any of our podcast feeds as well. So. Also, big news for those, if you missed it, you shouldn't have missed it. We've been talking about it on all of our shows, our live show with the entire Riverfront family at the Stretch Bar at the Banks, September 9th, 4 p.m. on Freedom Way, right near Great American Ballpark. We will be there for a couple hours, and we're going over to across the street to watch the Reds game. So would be dope if everyone could come see us, say hi, heckle at us, buy me a beer. You can throw peanuts at Nate and Chad. Again, Greg is always here for free hugs. He looks like a cuddler, so.
The beard gives me the teddy bear feel, I think.
It's going to be fun to sell again. We hope all three people that are listening make it down, because we're really looking forward to it on our end. We think it's going to be really cool and hope to do this a bunch of times. So.
It should be. Should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even if we're just amusing ourselves, we're going to have a tale of a bunch of idiots just drinking and saying dumb stuff to each other. So I'm going to have fun. Greg's going to have fun. Why don't you have fun with us?
Just have some fun. Just have some fun.
That's all. The world just needs fun. Just have fun. Forget about all the rest of the crap going on out there. Just enjoy yourselves for a few
hours.
That's
right.
Before you go to the Reds game and get annoyed at how they're playing. So
exactly.
Outside of that, we're ready to rock and roll. Greg, you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Quick recap of news. Lot of Joe Nixon, wow, been on the team for 7 years and I still don't know his name. A lot of Joe Mixon news and nuggets this week. Last Friday, was found not guilty at his aggravated menacing trial. Yippee. I mean, great. He still has a civil trial regarding the shooting that occurred at his residence. Again, he was not involved with the shooting. It just happened at his residence, and there's the civil trial going on with the family of the child who was shot. So he's not completely through all the legal crap. Mixon and his agent, Peter Schaefer, came out with a statement saying that he will not answer questions from reporters at the Pro Football Network, which is Jay Morrison, formerly of The Athletic. The Inquirer, which is Kelsey Conway. I'm curious if he's going to do any questions from like Charlie Goldsmith or any, you know, any of the other writers that they have over there at The Inquirer. ESPN with Ben Baby and Sports Illustrated, which is Jane Rapine, who's Cincinnati Bengals talk. They all do a really good job. I mean, people have quibbles with Kelsey Conway. Everyone's like, it's a hard job to get into. Just based off of coverage of his legal issues, I know there was problems. He was upset that his address was leaked and people were coming out very guilty till proven innocent, which, you know, it's given his background. I understand. And I get you want the media to be unbiased and you want them to report facts with no, which is completely objective, but this seems kind of immature. If there's an issue with these reporters, have a conversation with them, talk to them. Like this is, to me, it's childish. Again, people, I got a lot of backlash from people on for mentioning this on social media, but it's just, again, just be an adult. Like, you can't avoid the media. You've got to talk, you know, these people are here. Like, they'll carry your message. And he had about a 15-minute scrum in front of his locker yesterday after he said all of this and spoke with the assembled media and answered questions from everybody besides those four. And had some interesting comments. He didn't say anything about any of the offseason issues. Said that everything, you know, all of his teammates knew what was going on and, you know, knew the score, but said he wants to be a Bengal for the rest of his career. And the huge thing, the big takeaway that I had was he had some huge, huge praise for Cordell Volson. That bodes well. I'm on the fence about Volson because I've said this before, he was fine as a rookie, but he's an older rookie. I mean, he was 24 years old last year. He's 25. How much projection is there? Can he get better? But for him to go out of his way, and I mean, this is someone who's blocking for him, this is someone who's, you know, opening holes. He came out and just said, like, if he keeps on this path and, you know, with the work ethic and, you know, with the improving the way that he has, I mean, he could be on a Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame path. Now there's some hyperbole in there, but I mean, good prey, you know, a lot of good words and good things to hear. You don't want to hear someone like, obviously he's not going to dog his guys, but to go out of his way and point out the one guy who isn't the more established veteran on this court, you know, is a good thing. I mean, I don't know if you have any thoughts on any of that.
I didn't did not like the I don't know what Joe Mixon's doing. I mean, for me, the track record, not that it's necessarily super lengthy, there is a lot of substance in his track record, we'll say. I just don't think that he's the guy that can pick this battle to say I'm gonna stand against these reporters. I don't think he's the guy that gets to die on that hill. I think it's insane. I think, like you said, childish. I really don't. For Joe Mixon, I would want to keep my name out of the media as much as possible. And this is just you throwing it back into it. It makes no sense to me at all. I don't think Mixon should be making these kind of decisions. I just don't think it's not. He doesn't get the right to make that decision. You've already done too much in the media. You don't need to get mad at them for reporting a story, whether they report it right or wrong, and you don't like some of the facts. They would have never been there or never reported on it if it wasn't for many of your actions. So I just think he's got to – this. I hate that that's where his mindset is, that it bothers him that much. Not a fan of it. Not a fan.
Yeah, it just comes across a little kind of immature. And again, I mean, media is kind of it's a necessary evil. You need someone to keep people accountable. And again, sports is sports. Let's not, you know, try to pretend that sports is anything important. Like, you know, like we're trying to hold members of Congress or other politicians or, you know, titans of industry, you know, but talking about anything ethical or things like that, let's not conflate and think that this is, you know, terribly important, but that, you know, they are here to kind of tell the story. Now, media is also kind of a mess. Everyone's out there trying to be first. They want to be able to be the one that has to be credited in all the accounts as reported by Joe Parsing at, you know, the Riverfront Bengals, whatever. It's so people are quick to, I don't say rush to judgment, but rush to post something, especially on social media. And that's, again, social media is just an awful, terrible thing. And that's what a lot of it came from. And again, people posted his address in stories and on social media. It's readily available, though. You go to Hamilton County Auditors and look it up. You know, if you can figure it out. But it's, you know, everyone all around, just everyone just needs to learn. And again, I don't see, like, just avoiding. I mean, this is ESPN. I mean, ESPN's beat writer. I mean, the way that the world is of sports media is going, it's only going to be national outlets covering stuff anyway. I mean, newspapers and that stuff are, you know, fading away, and you know, so it's, I don't know. Maybe it's something he'll recant and everyone will get back on decent terms. But it's just, if you want to put stuff behind you, then don't make a bigger story of it. And yep. Again, have your agent reach out to the writers and say, you know, hey, listen, we had issues about this. You know, I not really know about setting the record straight, but like to have a conversation. Like, we don't want to, you know, I don't know. Maybe some of the stuff went on and it was not reported or whatever, but I just don't think it's a great look. But.
No. And well, and you can use, you know, potentially some of those reporters can be assets to you as yeah. Joe Mixon. And to throw away, I just, this is not in good, it's not a good look for Joe Mixon, who's been in trouble. I mean, you really should be doing everything in your power to better your image as Joe Mixon, and this is clearly not it for me.
It's weird, and I'm curious what Jay Morrison did, because Jay Morrison's one of the more well-respected. I mean, he's been covering the Bengals forever. I mean, with Dayton Daily News and, you know, with The Athletic and now with Pro Football Network. I mean, he does a fantastic job. He's a great writer. Interesting guy, and I don't recall anything like what he put out there, but again, it's, you know, it all gets sorted out the yeah. quicker we can put all this crap in our rear view. And again, let's September 10th, 1 o'clock, let's, you know, let's put the ball on a tee and let's get all this crap out, you know, and just worry about football.
We're almost there.
Yeah, getting there. It is the 23rd of August. This will be out 24th of August. 2.5 weeks.
So close.
I can smell it. I say that as it's 90 degrees outside. Tomorrow is going to be like 97, 98 degrees.
Oh, so. No doubt.
Not looking forward to that.
I was outside yesterday on a turf field. Okay. I mean, it was hot.
I don't envy you.
Not for that day, for sure.
I'm in my really cool, cold basement right now. My basement. When it's really hot outside, that means the air conditioner is running, you know, nonstop around the clock.
Right.
It's a damn ice chest down here. I mean, I don't need to use my freezer. I can bring shit and just put it on my desk.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. You know, perfectly safe. So
yeah,
I don't have to worry about that. So
you got like an ice factory down there. You bagging up ice and.
it's definitely business is booming right now for the next few days. It's going to be, you know, 90s for the next handful of days too. So.
Yeah, it's supposed to. I think today and tomorrow we're supposed to be like the two hottest, I believe. But
yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, today is like 93. Tomorrow is 97, 90. Cincinnati, and it's almost September. Let's get done with this crap. Anyway, hey, we got a game to talk about. Last week's game, played the Falcons, tied 13-13. Ties are dumb. Overtime is even more dumb. So thank God we don't do overtime in preseason anymore.
Yes.
Basic thoughts on the first thing. Bengals first team defense, first time we've seen anybody outside of, I think Dax Hill was the only starter that played last week. It was good to see Mike Hilton, DJ Reader, you know, Jermaine Pratt, Logan Wilson, you know the names. It was good to see them on the field, even if it was just for one drive. Ran really vanilla schemes. Atlanta has an interesting offense. A lot of misdirection, play action, a lot of runs, you know, passing. It's kind of a whole lot of movement. And they kind of nickel and dimed them down the field. A 10-minute drive, 15 plays, but it ended on an interception. Joseph Osai got a pick off of Mike Hilton deflection. And Cam Sample got a finger on the pass at the line of scrimmage. Any thoughts on defense as a whole? Again, you're talking 15 plays out of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I I like the fact that they stayed vanilla. As a coach, I'm not going to go out there and run schemes in the preseason with my one. So I like the fact that they stayed vanilla. The even better thing is they stayed vanilla and against another NFL offense, they found a way to get a stop. So that's kind of the takeaway I have from that. The takeaway I have for Atlanta is that is not a good sign. You're in the preseason and you're nickel and diamond. That is a sign of bigger issues for Atlanta. I think the fact that they had to nickel and dime everything is not going to bode well for them. Although their offense is going to be in that mold, I think, for a majority of the year anyways, where, you know, it's going to take them 12, 15 plays to score. That's just kind of the offense they're going to have unless, you know, Bijan Robinson breaks one. So we'll see there, but I thought it was good for the Bengals that they were vanilla and were able to keep them to kind of dinking and dunking and eventually got the turnover, which plays right into how I think the Bengals should play defense. Try to make your opponent 12 to 15 plays. Bengals will make negative things happen at some point. And we talked about this with you know, Robbins as the punter. It kind of all plays in together. So I like that it looks like what I think it should look like. So that was a good sign, but again, not a ton to take away, but we can take away a few positives here and there.
Yeah. I mean, most of the plays were 5, 6, 7, 8 yards or a couple 10 yard plays. And there was one, it was a 21 yard play. Really, really nice catch by Drake London right on the sidelines on a third down and 12. Coverage was fine. Bengals challenged to make sure to see if it was even a completed catch. And it was, you know, can't really blame anything except it was a good throw and a good catch. But again, it's, you know, 6 yards, -1 yard, 7 yards, you know, penalty, you know, a lot of penalties. Falcons had it seemed like they had 7 or 8 penalties on the first drive. I think the Falcons are going to be deceptively solid this year. They spent a lot of money in free agency. Again, they got Bijan Robinson, who's, I mean, he looked the real deal. Again, he had 4 carries for 20 yards, 1 pass reception for 6 yards, but he looks like he's going to be a dude. They've got talented receivers. They've got Drake London. They've got Kyle Pitts. And I'm higher on Des Ridder than most people because I'm a Cincinnati Bearcat homer. But I think they're going to be, you know, I think they're in a shit division. Panthers have a rookie quarterback. The Buccaneers have Baker.
Yeah.
I mean, really, Saints might be interesting. I mean, they you know, at least have Derek Carr, who's, you know, good for probably 9 wins, you know, ceiling 9-10 wins. But the Bengals didn't get gashed with all the misdirection. I mean, everyone stayed very they stayed within the scheme. I mean, nobody bit on any play fakes. I mean, you didn't have a receiver running open in the middle of the field because the safety bit on a play fake. But it's, you know, a lot of good. I mean, you would have liked them to see him get off the field on a third down, but again, I'll take a turnover, get, you know, and then taking the ball at the 20, 0 points, and then get off the field because they were running a lot of cut blocks, and I think Bengals wanted to get them off the field before those cut blocks got a little angry. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think on the Falcons, I think we're on the same page. If we just subtract the quarterback, because for as much as you're above, you know, you like Desmond Ridder more than everybody else, I probably dislike him more than everybody else. I love Atlanta's team, though. If you just take away quarterback, if we're looking at every other position, I think Atlanta does have like a nice little squad. But I just don't believe in Desmond Ridder. Not yet. I don't think he's ready. I think at some point you'll see more than Desmond Ridder. But I just don't believe in his ability. I really don't. But I do like Drake London's a dog, as you mentioned. Kyle Pitts is a dog. They really do have weapons. And they obviously added a bunch in free agency. Obviously, we taken a hit because of that. But I do like the team that they're putting together, and I think they're doing it pretty quickly and pretty well.
It hurt my soul to see Jesse Bates make a tackle on Yoshi. It really did. Especially the third down play and I tackled him short of the yard to gain. I'm like, I completely understood Jesse Bates was going to leave. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was the plan, and that's fine. But I miss it's the guy already. He's gonna be like Bengals will replace his production and like and whatever. But I mean, he's I'm not a guy who really lingers. Like as soon as you leave the Bengals, I kind of you drop from my consciousness. I don't care. But he's one of the guys to where you know you want him to do well. You want him to succeed personally. You know. And want him to get all pro accolades and pro bowls and all those things. But it'll be cool to also see him succeed in the playoffs. Now, probably not on the right team to succeed, you know, in the playoffs for a handful of years. But again, just kind of one of those guys that, you know, kind of hurts your soul to see him.
Yeah.
Wearing another team's jersey. And wearing number three too, I guess just in case the third. So.
Yeah. It's like the girlfriend that breaks up with you. You're like, I'm over it. I'm totally fine. Yeah. And then you see her out with another guy. You're like, I'm not over it. I don't. I want her back.
Right. And speaking of like numbers, do you hear Teddy Bridgewater is wearing number 50?
Yeah, insane. What is that? I mean,
they don't have any numbers available. 1 to 19. Maybe there's not even a zero available. So he just picked 50, and I don't know if he's gonna. 50? Yeah,
50 though. I mean, that is like it was. It was so weird that watching somebody just play with the number 50 at quarterback was like mesmerizing. I couldn't get enough of it. I was just like, this is unbelievable because you've never seen it. I mean, you don't see it in high school. You don't see it in college. You just do not see it. I definitely noticed that and I couldn't change the channel. I was like, this is nuts.
It's hilarious. It's kind of like Otto Graham. He wore 60. For a long time with the Browns and then switched to 14 when they started the rules with numbering. Now, obviously that, you know, those rules are now, I think the rules are only there now for offensive linemen. I think, is that correct?
Right. So basically the, it used to be rules for quarterback, running back, receiver, right. You know, everything was, but you have to have the offensive line numbers so that the defense can tell who's eligible and who's not.
Yeah.
So that will never change because you've got to have some way to know. But I like that the NFL has opened up the numbers. I think, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, anything allowing just more, I don't want to say personal expression, but I mean, just more freedom. The league is, I mean, how many years now? I mean, we're talking 35 years that people, people have been saying NFL is no fun league just for, you know, legislating Tampa down on anything, touchdown celebrations to uniform violations of not having your socks pulled up to the right height and crazy shit like that. So yeah, it's cool, but I do miss knowing who's who. Seeing single digits on the defensive line, like coming off the edge and like, wait, oh yeah. Or, you know, seeing a 340-pound defensive tackle wearing zero. That's a little weird.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's still taking a little bit of time to get used to. I mean, receivers, whatever, like they allow them to have numbers in the teens and, you know, now they can have whatever. And we got Uno and you know, Higgins is five, but still I'm old and I don't want to have to remember all these new numbers and everything. Don't
make it old. Better. We're old. Change is bad.
It's changing. Right, exactly. Insert the Abe Simpson old man yells at cloud image. On to the quarterback battle on the Bengals. And it was not great. Trevor Siemian was 7 of 14 for 62 yards. That's really, really bad. Jake Browning was a bit better, 16 of 22, 140 yards. Terribly, terribly ugly interception. He did have 50 yards scrambling on the last drill there, or on the last drive there in the fourth quarter as they went down to take lead on touchdown. Hey, the offense finally scored a touchdown 8 quarters into the preseason.
That's all it took.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was halfway or most of the way through the fourth quarter in their second preseason game. What are your thoughts on the backup battle?
If either one of these two has to play in meaningful games, we're in real trouble. And I hate to say it that way, but that's the way I see it. I don't know that there's going to be a winner of this quarterback battle as much as there'll just be someone that survives this quarterback battle. And it kind of is what it is. I don't know that there's anybody out there that you can go get that's gonna really make a massive difference. But that's the quarterback battle we're in. I think, yeah, I really don't think there's a winner in this situation. I think it's just a survivor.
Yeah, Bronny clearly looked better. I mean, the numbers bear that out. But just watching the game and even working with second-team offensive line or second- and third-team offensive line, he had better command of what was going on. Now, it's understandable. He's been with the team for a couple years that, you know, he gets the offense a little bit better. But again, I mean, Trevor Siemian, he's been in the league. You know, he started a handful of games. He's been with multiple teams, so it's not like he should struggle picking up a new playbook. And he just – the throws are just way off target. There's zero cohesion. And again, you're dealing with an offensive line that they don't have a ton of cohesion because they're kind of mix and match because, you know, it's Jonah Williams was the only offensive line starter. He went one drive and they got him out, and he looked actually really good. But it's – I think you're right. There's no one's going to win this competition. I still think the backup quarterback is going to be Brandon Allen.
Right.
I'm not sure, because he's a veteran, if when the Niners cut him, if he goes through waivers process or if he immediately becomes and cause there's a once you're, you know, a veteran of certain years, you don't have to go through you don't have to go through waivers. So we shall see. Again, I think he's a guy that they're going to look at because familiarity with the offense, and he's, you know, he's the fourth string guy, so he'll definitely get cut loose. And neither of these guys look worthy of a roster spot. It's one thing to have, you know, God forbid something happened to your quarterback and he misses three quarters of the season. Yeah, your season sunk. But if he's going to miss a drive or, you know, have to miss second half or something like that, you know, because of a twisted ankle, you put these guys in and you're punting the game. Or if they got to play a few weeks. You know, if he tweaks his calf. If they're out three games, you know, if he's out three games, the worst that you want to do is 1-2. And with these guys in, it's
I don't even know if 1-2 would be possible right now with these two guys.
Yeah, defense better be pitching shutouts. I mean, go call Mohamed Sanu and have him play quarterback and just run a run a wing offense. And
I think we all expected a little more from Trevor Siemian, did we not? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
It's been lackluster from start to finish and really hasn't been like a singular bright spot. He has not shown much.
No, and I mean, he's got a stronger arm than Browning, but on some of these throws, it's the arm strength has nothing to do with it. They're just off target. They're just these ducks that are, you know, nowhere, you know. It's one thing if we were thinking that the receivers are running the wrong routes, or, you know, they slipped coming out of their break or something, but just the throws just look off. And it just, at this point you wonder, like, when the Bengals let him go, is he even going to be, you know, what's his next step? XFL or AAF? Yeah. I don't know what the rest of the, he'll go play with the new arena league that's starting up next year.
I feel like there's always 42 other leagues. So I don't know. I'm sure there's something. Put some letters together. It'll probably. You probably got it.
Right. Exactly. Also, the backup running back battle, neither guys did much on the ground. Again, I don't – might have been more of line or something like that. I don't really know how to really compare. Chase Brown was 9 for 18 yards, 1 reception, 0 yards. Chris Evans was 7 for 16, 7 carries, 16 yards, 2 catches for 20. Evans, I think, looked a little bit better, but most important was the pass blocking. Both graded really, really well. Chase Brown was 84. This is from Pro Football Focus. Graded 84 on 8 snaps. Evans had a grade of 74.5 on only 2 snaps, but they both looked really, you know, both looked more comfortable in the offense, especially blocking. The yards, again, no one really is worried about the backup running back for yards. This is the third down back. Guy's going to pick up blitzes and leak out into the flat or, you know, release and run a pattern. And I feel a lot better about them this week than I did last week. Where are you and who do you think's got the edge?
I think Brown definitely has the edge just because they just drafted him. I feel like he's done enough to warrant what, you know, what we thought he might be. But I kind of feel like this running back situation could not look any better for these two guys. Like, Evans has came out and done some things of noteworthiness. Like it's looked good, which I still think Brown's the guy, and then maybe Williams when he comes back, and Evans might be kind of squeezed out. But I really like Evans, and I know we've said this for a long time now, you and me both liking Evans. But I think he's shown good things.
See, I wonder if starting out this year, more of just because he's a little more experienced in the offense, the Chris Evans is going to get the first third down reps. I think because how the Bengals do it, I mean, they have their third down back, and then they have like a backup running back that would be the number one if anything happened. Yeah. You know, Williams was, you know, took over a lot of carries when Mixon was down for a little bit and kept and then keeping Pierre in that third down role. So I wonder if
that's a very fair point.
I wonder if they would use Evans because again his receiving ability and Chase. No knock on Chase Brown. Chase Brown is good catching the ball out of the backfield too. Really good catching the ball, but again, and we were saying Chris Evans runs routes like a receiver. If he can make the coaches comfortable with his blocking, I mean, you don't even have to run the ball well. Yep. Just pick up the blitz, you know, chip somebody, and then you know run a route, catch, you know, and turn up field, and that's what he's good at. One thing that I saw twice last game, Chase Brown ran into the left tackle. I think one was Carmen, and I can't remember who the other one was, and one of the times completely screwed up the block and the end got basically came in clean because it knocked him off balance. Those are things that need to be cleaned off. I mean, you can't be picking your own linemen off, you know, on a pass rep. I mean, it's one thing to chip the guy. It's another thing to chip your own teammate. So that's why I think that, Chris will get the first reps as, you know, the third down back and hopefully he runs with it. I did make a comment about him on Twitter about, you know, how when he runs the ball, sometimes it looks like he doesn't really know where the hole is supposed to be. Of course, he searches it up and likes it as I'm doing a, you know, how many kind things do I say about the guy?
Yeah. And then of course
he likes the comment that I put on Twitter that's criticizing him. Like, come on.
You're done.
I'm not trying to dog you. I'm making observations. I've been a fan of yours. You have the most awesome hair. I mean, you look like Kid and Play. I mean, his Twitter handle is like Kid Play and whatever. I mean, but still, I'm curious what, you know, if they still might be looking for somebody after, you know, after cuts, you know, maybe more established guy or maybe, you know, who, you know, just to be that more traditional third down back, but we'll see. I'm not sure how much stock they're really going to put into this week's game at Washington, for those guys, but
there's plenty of guys out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's still vets and everything out there. Plus guys that are going to be cut loose. So, are not quite as important to the team, but important for me selfishly, the rookie wide receiver watch, Yoshi was five catches, 44 yards on another 10 targets. He's got 21 targets through two games, which is ridiculous. They are trying to, like, the game plan, give him the ball and see what he can do. I think they're really interested. They really like the kid, and I think they think that he's going to be a contributor, you know, again, like we've been talking, sooner than anyone expected. I've seen some people try to say will this cause any hesitation with them working on and finalizing the extension for T? No. This is just another weapon. Like, he's not a replacement for T. This is, you know, and just another guy. But they're force-feeding him the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Charlie Jones had a lot better-looking game. 4 catches, 36 yards, 6 targets. Looked better getting separation. Still not much on punt returns. Again, I don't know how much of him – of the full Chuck Sizzle experience you're going to get this year with the labrum issue. I've never had a shoulder issue. I don't know how much that plays in, like, are you favoring it? Are you going down instead of trying to make that extra move to try to escape a tackle? I don't know.
Yeah.
But just get him experience so that next year when Boyd's gone, maybe he's comfortable in taking that role over, but again, these aren't important. You know, these are only important if Chase, Tyler, and Trent Irwin were, you know, were to magically all go down. But
yeah, I think we're in a good spot with Jones. I think he, you know, you drafted him knowing you were going to have time to develop him. So I don't think, obviously with the shoulder issue, I just don't think there's any rush to, he's not a necessary piece right now. I mean, obviously we want him for punt returns, but you know, his goal line is a year from now, you know? So if he can, if they can just slowly bring him along, I think he's got a bunch of a seasoning that needs to happen, but I think it'll happen in good time. And there's no need to rush that process.
I just wish he'd shown more on punt returns. My only concern is for that reason, and with, you know, with him having the injury, does this mean they're going to keep Trent Taylor, and does that take a roster spot from somebody else? You know, an offensive lineman or a defense, you know, the defensive line has shown a ton of depth. Are you going to risk, you know, going short there? Because you might need to keep an extra receiver. You can't, you're not going to be able to put Yoshi or Jones on practice squad.
Right.
Those are going to snap up immediately. So it's hopefully in it. And again, I mean, if he can just, you know, put his hand up in the air, catch the ball, and then hand the ball to the referee, cool.
Yes.
It's great to have a dynamic punt return, be able to throw Deion Sanders or Pac-Man back there, but just make smart decisions. Put your heel, you know, if you're not going to return it, put your heels on the 10. It's over your head. Get out of the way.
Yeah. We're good enough we're good enough everywhere else that if we can just fair catch a punt and bring those 11 offensive guys out on the field, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Again, the guy gets drafted on this, you know, ability, and you're hoping to see some flash, especially like later in the game when you're seeing special teamers who a lot of guys that are playing special teams late in a preseason game. A lot of those are guys that are going to be practice squad or out of a job in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But, you know, you hope to see more. But again, it's who knows how much that shoulder's bothering him. So we'll see. We got another game to see what happens. So, offensive line, Carmen moved to the, moved over to the left side, looked a lot better. Moved him back over to the right side in the second half. And again, he struggled, but he's a left tackle. That's his only spot. He's not a swing tackle. I wonder if they have any thoughts of trying him back on the interior again this week, just to, you know, try him at left guard or something just to see. But I think if he makes this team, he's just the backup left tackle. I graded out pretty well. He was graded in the 70s or something. He's going to be a run mauler. He's going to be your extra lineman in jumbo packages. Cause I mean, he's going to be able to, especially if he can get a kickoff block or, you know, go to the second level, he's, you know, playing the jumbo tight end or something. It's, you know, that's an asset, but he's, you know, he is who he is.
Okay, yeah.
You're hoping for adequate. If he's got to play, you know, if he's got to play meaningful snaps on the left side, if he's on the right side, you're better putting you or me on the offensive line because at least we're going to give effort.
Yeah. I feel like they really need to just go ahead and lock him in as only a left tackle. I think that's his only chance of somewhat of success. Moving him inside, moving him to the right side, none of it. I don't want to see any of it. He just hasn't shown that ability to, like, A, grasp what he's trying to do, and then B, the want to. So – If he does make the roster, it's left tackle and that's it. And I, at this point, the Jackson Carmen experience has been more disappointing to me than exciting.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't be upset if they let him go to hang on to somebody, you know, who's got at least a little bit of promise or a little more versatility. I mean, Adeniji is on the kind of, I'm gonna say chopping block, but I mean, they're both fighting for a roster spot, and at least Adeniji has shown that, you know, that he can be a swing tackle.
Yeah,
you know, play both sides if need be. Again, if anything happens to Orlando Brown, Jonah Williams is going over there anyway. So right tackle is where you need your extra guy.
Yeah,
it remains to be seen how long that Lyle Collins is going to be out until. I mean, he's looked strong, looked ready to go, but I mean they're being very extra cautious with him. Again, I think it's a good chance that they pup him. And I think now it's only 4 weeks that he's got to sit, and then they can make the decision then of what to do with him. And then that's, you know, he's your right tackle, or they can kick him in and play guard. I mean, he played guard for a few years when he first came into the league. So maybe Carmen makes the team for a month, and then come October when Collins is ready to go, he gets cut loose. So back end depth looked a little bit better. It's still lacking. Ben Brown looked a bit better. Jackson Kirkland had a much better game. He looked like an actual projectionable player. Again, if they get down to these guys, then a whole lot of bad has happened, and kind of complain about the back end depth of these rooms. And yeah, guys get injured, but how often do you have it? Like last year, the end of last year, when the Bengals had three starters out.
Did we lose him? All right. So the Bengals at the back end of last year had the three. Okay. Joe's back.
I'm back. Sorry. I have no idea what happened.
He gone.
It's a lot better show when I'm not on it. So you're welcome, everybody, for those 20 seconds of what the hell did I do?
There was a lot of thumbs up emojis just flying across the screen. I don't know what happened, but yeah.
Woohoo! Anyway, Dante Smith, Deontay, I don't know. He's been around for a couple of years, and I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's D'ANTE. We all know who we're talking about. He's been looking pretty strong. Again, he's not someone that you want starting, but I mean, again, he's got a lot of length. He's built more like a typical left tackle with the long arms and everything. So it's the depth is nice. So it's, again, people are complaining about the back end depth, like your 8th, 9th, 10th guys, but you're screwed if that happens. So I'm really not worried about that. Yeah, you wish everybody worked starter quality, and sure, this were Madden when you could just go through the ratings and jack everybody up to a 99, but
right,
you really don't need, again, injuries happen, and I don't want to poo-poo depth after what happened in the playoffs last year, but.
Right. I wish my backup quarterback was Jimmy Garoppolo, but. That just doesn't happen. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. There's a lot of bad offensive line play out there in general. And as I'm starting all O-lines, we've seen that for the past 5 years here. So complaining about, your third your third center or your third right guard. Well, okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be crappy whether it's your team or, the Browns have a great offensive line. Their third string right guard is going to be crappy if he's got to come into a game. So really not too worried about that. I know we talked about the first team defense, but what are your thoughts on the rest of the defense as a whole?
I really like what I've seen. I like some of the depth that I've seen.
Yeah.
The crazy part to me is, and I can't believe I'm going to say this as we're 2.5 weeks away from week one or whatever. I think this defense has a chance to be better. I really do. I feel crazy saying it, but I like the youth. I like the speed that they've added, and now we've got some depth. I really think this defense could be better than they've been.
They're really, really fast, especially in the back seven. I mean, the Bengals linebackers are some of the more athletic out there. Their safeties, as a unit, they've got to have the fastest safety group. I mean, they've got three guys that run 4.3 or faster.
If not, they're definitely up there.
Absolutely. Again, Tyson Anderson was in the 4.3s. Yep. Dax was 4.3. I think Nick Scott was 4.3 or thereabouts. Jordan Battle is the slowest guy, and he was thought of as a possible, even on the Bengals with as deep as their defense is, was thought of as someone who was possible and able to step in as a rookie, as a starter, because of his acumen, his intelligence, his just how he's a player. I mean, he's a veteran as a 21, 22 year old rookie, just from how he approaches the game and how he studies. I mean, that's they're fantastic. They've got so many guys that just fly around. The depth of the defensive line is what's exciting me the most. Yes. And we know they've got Joseph Osai looked like an absolute man possessed. He wants people to forget the penalty at the end of the AFC Championship game. He had a monster game. Raymond Johnson, the 30, and this is a guy way down the depth list. He's been great both weeks. He's threatening to make the team. And if you would have said his name, I would have, you know, him or Owen Carney. These are guys like who? And yep. You figure, you know, these were some of the first easy cuts off of the 90 man. Raymond Johnson had another sack. That's two sacks in two games. Flashed in the run game. Absolutely. I mean, he looks like, I mean, again, he's going to be a project. He's still a younger guy. This is his third camp. He was with Giants, I think, a couple years ago. He looks like an NFL player. Again, he's not going to be taking over Trey Hendrickson and picking up 14, 15 sacks, but more guys, you know, because guys are going to get nicked up. Osai might miss a game or two here or there. Hendrickson, you know, might miss a game or two, you know, because just getting nicked here or there. It's more guys that you can plug in that provide juice is going to be better. My star from last week, Jay Tufele, he was very unimpressive, but
that was disappointing.
Yeah, he got washed out a lot in the run game and, you know, didn't provide much of a push in the pass game. But, again, he was, you know, he's your third string three tech I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know where he fits in outside of just a depth piece. But, again, he's – when he's in the game, it's basically just don't give up. You know, just keep the blockers off the second level. And, you know, if you can do that, fine. I don't need to be DJ Reader taking on double teams – splitting the double teams and still making the tackle in the hole. So, and again, it's Miles Murphy did not play. He had an illness, so we didn't get to see anything from him. I'm hoping he gets a decent amount of run on Saturday's game against Washington, but there's just a lot to like and a lot of just guys that if they have to play a meaningful snap, you're like, okay, cool. Yep. This isn't, you know, it was a couple years ago when it was 2020 when Bengals had all those injuries on the defensive line. Josh Tupo sat out because for COVID, he took the entire year off. That's when DJ Reader got hurt. Bengals were picking guys up off the street. There was like a Christian Covington and a lot of guys whose names like immediately just obscure. I mean, there's a joke about obscure former Reds. These guys were obscure former Bengals while they were actually starting games for them because they had nobody. None of those guys who even started the back half of that season would even be on this depth chart. They've got so many dudes. So
it is a super – I agree with you. I think the defensive line might be the most exciting thing.
Yeah.
But overall, as a defense, I think this thing's really starting to take shape and take form, and I'm kind of fired up to see the defense. And I didn't – who thought we were going to be talking fired up to see the defense going into a Joe Burrow football season, but – I really like the defense right now.
I know. And again, my dude, Zach Carter, again, we knew last year was going to be kind of a redshirt year as he was bulking up going from end to tackle. And he's absolutely looked the part. There are some clips from him in practice yesterday, splitting a double team from Kappa and Karras. I mean, Alex Kappa and Ted Karras these are really, really good interior offensive linemen. And he split the two of them and would have had, you know, if it were a game situation, he would have had a sack.
Yeah,
he still has the quickness that he had as an end, and he's put on the weight, so he's got a little more of an anchor. If he can provide what Ogunjobi provided 2 years ago, the team with BJ Hill, I mean, they are absolutely. At third, you know, you can put those two guys on the line on a third down and, you know, three or something, and you're not going to lose a ton of yardage in not going to lose a ton of push on a run. You know, if they run it, and you're going to get a lot of push if they throw it. So it's. He's my breakout player I think this year.
He's hard not to like. I mean, you just find yourself rooting for him.
Yeah. And I'm not a University of Florida fan. I hated Steve Spurrier. I absolutely hate Urban Meyer with the heat of 1,000 suns. I'm glad they tanked under Dan Mullins. I don't even know who their coach is now. Don't even care. But
Billy Napier, I think.
Okay, that's right. Still, who cares? They had several of my most like overhyped, hated players. Tim Tebow, Chris Leak. I mean, whatever. Bengals have gotten some good players out of there, though. I mean, Dunlap, Chris Collinsworth, for that matter. So we'll take your alums. Yeah, we'll take your alums. I just hate you while you're there.
Yeah, the only thing I care about for Florida football is give me the documentary with Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow, the Pouncey twins, Aaron Hernandez. There's way too much going on there. And we can all hate Florida together while watching this documentary. Cause I want to see that.
I heard it was kind of lacking. I haven't seen it cause I, you know, just haven't had time to, but I heard it's kind of, it just tells the story. It does. They don't really ask any questions or probe anything.
Oh,
it's
really?
just kind of a rehashing of everything that went down. So, I mean, I think we saw the Aaron Hernandez, documentary anyway. It was Making a Murderer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Awesome. Yeah. Was that the name of it?
Different guy. Sorry. Anyway, back on track here. Marcus Bailey looked great. He almost had two interceptions. The first one that he had, it was a play action to defense right. He flowed with the play, immediately recognized it, broke, found his receiver, cut off that guy, and then dropped back when Ritter tried to dump the pass over his head, got a finger on it, and almost put it in off the deflection. So if he had better hands, he would have had a second interception later in the game. But again, this is a guy who can only play special teams, and you look at his ability.
Yeah.
You never want injuries. You want your starters to play as much as they need to. But if there's an injury, like they're outside of what quarterback, because that's the, when you have a stud quarterback, that's the only position, you know, it's a position that you can't handle an injury to. They can handle injuries to any level.
Yeah. Yeah, they really can. I mean, the fact I like is like you were talking about, his reads, his instincts. You could say if he had better hands, I'm not worried about that. If we're going to,
he's a linebacker.
You know what I mean? You know, I'm just trying to not give up a touchdown at this point. And his reads and instincts were on point. So I thought that was very promising.
I don't know. There was a video of Logan Wilson making a leaping one-handed interception the other day. So we talked about, you know, hands aren't important for a linebacker. And they're really not. I mean, you're not there for passes, defense, and turnovers. But you get someone who can make a leaping one-handed interception, man. That's good shit. That is absolutely good stuff.
Oh, for sure. We'll always take it.
Logan Wilson just makes stuff happen. Even if it was against, you know, whatever scrub, you know, I don't know if it was Browning or Simeon or some hopefully soon obscure former Bengal. Guy's fantastic, and I'm glad he's around for a couple more years. Surprised that he's around for a couple more years.
Yeah, right.
I'll take it. I'm happy for it.
He reminds me of myself a lot. I mean, he's just very talented. You know, he gets a lot of stuff done. You know, so we got to give him his credit.
I can see it. He's, you know, clean cut guy.
From
state of Wyoming. I mean, he's a cowboy. I mean, that's, it's like looking in the mirror, man. That's,
yeah. You don't look convinced. Mirror, but... You don't look convinced.
Anyway, time to look forward. Bengals play their last, thank God, last preseason game. Saturday evening, 6:30 at the dump of FedEx Field. Is this still FedEx Field?
I think so.
I don't know. It's a crappy stadium, and they're looking to replace it. The Washington Commanders, formerly Redskins, and soon to be something else, because I know they're talking about changing the name again.
Yeah, I did hear
also
that.
Also, formerly Washington football team. Forgot about, you know, got to get all those in. So.
That's true.
What remaining questions do you have? Do you want to see, I don't say answer, but at least, you know, what are you hoping to see on Saturday?
I want to see, first and foremost, everybody stay healthy. That would be number one. But I just kind of want to see guys continue to progress, just continue to take that next step. And I think, you know, we've seen really good things. Brown looked better. D-line depths looked better. Maybe we can see the offensive line play a little bit better. But overall, I mean, I've been very pleased up until this point. I wasn't looking for a ton, but I think we've seen some good things in some spots. So kind of just keep the train rolling, keep the train on the tracks, nothing crazy, and let's go play regular season football.
Yeah, I still haven't heard any word over what if any starters are going to play. I doubt any of them. I mean, this is, granted, it's only the third game, so it'll only be three preseason games now instead of four. But I would assume nobody's really going to play. Maybe, you know, they might throw some offensive linemen, and you know, I even doubt it at this point. But yeah, stay healthy. What I'm looking for is I want to see, you know, somebody have a big game as a quarterback. Again, I don't care if it's Simeon. I don't care if it's Brown. I want somebody to try to take that job instead of just winning because the other guy sucked less or sucked more. Come up, make throws, like throw downfield. I mean, you've got a decent backup, you know, receiver core that you're throwing to. You've got guys out of the backfield who can catch, like make throws. Is that guy even on the roster again? I don't think either of these guys are going to be here on September 10th. Running back too. I want to see one of those guys absolutely take that job. Nobody's been able to run the ball well. Again, how much is that is, you know, just running behind patchwork backup offensive linemen, and how much of that is, you know, ability is the wrong word, but just, you know, somebody needs to take care, you know, take the job, keep blocking well. Still waiting to see Travion Williams return to the field. I'm curious if Williams is going to – will he be pupped? Will they, you know, waive him with an injury settle? I'm curious what's going to happen with him because he – this isn't – he's not an established player. He was thought to be on the depth chart. I mean, he was a useful player, and he's got ability. But he's, you know, it's not like he's going to be a hot commodity. If you let him go, it's not like everyone's going to be jumping on him, picking him up. And if you're going to pup him, you've got to carry him through – through the 53 man cut and let somebody go, hope that nobody picks them up. So what do you do with him?
Yeah, that would be the one questionable scenario. I don't really know. I don't think anybody knows, to be honest. It kind of feels wide open.
Yeah, I like him. I like him to be on the team, but is he going to be ready? And if he's not, again, if you're going to pup him, who are you going to risk losing? You know, you got to cut somebody and then sign him back after, you know, after waivers and everything. So is that somebody, you know, someone like Stanley Morgan, who's your special teams ace, or Uncle Mike Thomas, the safety, again, who's a core special teamer and, you know, a depth at the back of the safety room. I mean, he's on the bubble as it is because of the emergence of Tyson Anderson. So you want these guys that are questionable health-wise to be healthy enough to be able to make a decision on that.
Yeah.
So, and the last thing that I have to figure out what to do with Carmen. If you want Jackson Carmen as your backup left, what would ultimately be your third string left tackle? I just don't see it because again, it's anything happens to Orlando Brown, Jonah Williams is going to move back over to the left side, and Jackson Carmen cannot play right side. So, are you going to waste a roster spot on a third year guy who hasn't been able to fully get with the system and has shown zero versatility and often shows a lack of interest? Do you keep that guy around when he can't do anything else? I don't know. I wouldn't. Now I'm not Duke Tobin. I don't have, you know, I'm not Zach Taylor. I don't make these decisions, but I wouldn't keep him around. So,
but yeah, I think he's working his way out of Cincinnati pretty quickly. I mean, we try to give him the benefit of the doubt, but every time, you know, we talk, it's negative in connotation. I mean, I don't see what he's done. He hasn't provided versatility. He hasn't looked good at right tackle. So he's going to be, like you said, the backup left tackle, but he's not even really the backup because of Jonah Williams. So I just don't know where he's provided value to the Bengals in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's yet another fail of the Bengals drafting offensive lineman. I don't know what they're doing when they draft. I mean, are you familiar with the RAS, like the relative athletic score when it comes to draft prospects? Bengals draft like pretty much against that. The guys that they draft are, you know, for the offensive line are like, they're not athletic guys. These are guys, I think that they're looking for guys that are nasty or got, you know, more personality traits, and they've been burnt time and time again. I mean, Volson is maybe an outlier. But because, I mean, he wasn't graded very highly, but I don't know. Like, they need to change how they draft offensive line. I guess they did this year because they didn't draft one, which still is a stunning, absolutely stunning, you know, thing to happen. I mean, even the Browns, who had, you know, have one of the best offensive lines, they draft an offensive lineman. It, you know, it's so weird.
It's amazing to me that they've gone away from the RAS so much, because when I look at – you look at the most incredible offensive linemen, they're all super athletic. I mean, that is the one trait that goes for all of them.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how like how nasty you are in the run game or the attitude. I mean, that's something that you try to build that attitude in once they have the physical traits. Again, I don't, and it's not as if they're looking at the athletic score and saying, okay, right, you know, let's cut these guys out because they're too athletic. It's more right. of like maybe you need to start drafting the athletic guy more, and you know, yeah. because drafting other traits isn't working. I mean, you're having to cut guy after guy, and again, Olsen's a second round, you know, the second year fourth rounder last year that is, you know, older than everybody else in his draft class. How much projection are you really, you know, expecting? I mean, there's a lot of the offensive line, I'm gonna say gurus, but guys that grade and judge offensive line on Bengals Twitter are high on him. So I'm, for that reason alone, I'm somewhat optimistic, but I don't know. It's, you know, give me the athletic guys that, you know, yeah. that are going to be able to make, get to the second level in the run game, or guys that are, you know, going to have the foot quickness to get the speed rushers. Cause there's a reason that Myles Garrett absolutely kills the Bengals. Yeah. He's just quicker, faster, more athletic than the guy in front of him. And they just can't keep, you know, they just can't keep up with him. So,
well, for all the praise we give the Bengals, I mean, if you're sitting up there in the big chair, you've got to be able to self-reflect, and you've got to be able to look at yourself and say, we failed at offensive line. I mean, they've done a million things well, but offensive line is clearly a failure. Not even close. I mean, it's a failure. So at some point you have to look in the mirror and say, all right, we got to do things differently in that small aspect of your organization. Because you have a lot of things going well, and it's easy to pat yourself on the back. But when things are not going well, you need to also be willing to stand up and say, okay, what we're doing is not working, so we're going to try something else.
Yeah, and especially when this, you know, when all these second contracts, we're getting into the meat of the money, the second contracts for Burrow, for Higgins, for Chase, for Pratt and Wilson. Bengals have a ton of money in their tackles right now, between Collins, between Brown, and between Jonah Williams. That money isn't going to be there down the road. I mean, they've Orlando Brown's going to be around for, you know, his contract's going to keep him around, and he's not making a ton of money, but when you add it all together, you need to be able to get somebody in on a rookie contract to take one of those spots at some point. I mean, who's playing right tackle next year? Yeah. You need to be able to get someone who's not just a year to year, you know, well, he's going to cover for 1 year as a stopgap. Like they need long-term solutions that they can draft.
Yeah.
Get into their system. So that's, again, we're talking off-season things here, right, you know, right before the season, but, you know, Bengals have done changed and done so much well of late, but it's just one of those things that's, you know, Carmen just highlights their failure with the offensive line. Again, drafting, scouting, developing. I don't know which one you want to, you know, what do you want to tie that up in, but
yeah,
they'll get it figured out at some point. I mean, they were known for offensive linemen for a while there, but now granted, that might've been before even you were born.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
It's been a while. This just came out in the past, I don't know, 40 minutes ago. Ken Anderson screwed over yet again by the senior committee in the Hall of Fame. How in the hell?
That's amazing.
Is that man not in the Hall of Fame? Won an MVP, won 4 passing titles, better than a half dozen. I mean, Troy Aikman was not a good quarterback in his own day. And because he was the quarterback of the boys of America's team, and they want to cover Super Bowls with him, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's better than Dan Fouts. He's like, there's so many guys. I mean, he's arguably better, like, statistically than Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, Terry Bradshaw's numbers are kind of embarrassing. I mean,
Joe Namath's numbers aren't good for that matter. There's a lot of quarterbacks in there that are ahead of him, or, you know, that are below him in all of these metrics, in touchdown to interception ratio, in quarterback rating, yard, stuff like this. And again, that's kind of Hall of Fame over Hall of Best Players. That's because the little old Bengals, even with getting Ken Riley Jr. in last, or getting Ken Riley in last year, still only have 2 Hall of Famers in, because they're just not a huge brand. And it's a shame. I mean, yeah. You want him, I mean, he'll make it eventually, and you want him to be able to enjoy it. So
it's just super disappointing. The guy clearly, like, whether you're a Bengals fan, a Bengals homer, or you're not, he clearly deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. There's, it's not really a debate, in my opinion. Absolutely. Clearly.
Yeah. So, I mean, congrats to Randy Gradishar, Steve McMichael, Art Powell. They have to get 80% of the votes to, and, you know, it's just disappointing. It's crap. On top of that, Ken Anderson's one of the great, just one of the greatest people out there.
Yeah.
The Ken Anderson Alliance. It's a huge charitable foundation that provides jobs and benefits for adults with disabilities. Their offices are about a mile and a half from my house, coffee shop, and you know a lot of other charitable things. That it's fantastic work that he does, that his foundation does. And we in Cincinnati, we know he's a Hall of Fame person. We know he's a Hall of Fame player, but it would be nice for him and for his family to get the respect that, you know, that so far, you know, that's so well, you know, overdue. But frustrating.
He's like you said, he is a Hall of Fame person, and he absolutely is. And that has no effect on why he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
Even if he was not a Hall of Fame person, he's still a Hall of Fame football player. So he completely deserves it. It breaks my heart because he is a Hall of Fame person, like, without question. He's one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet if you do and when you do.
Yeah.
So he, it's sad for me, but he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. He'll get in eventually. So, anyway, outside of that little downer, any final thoughts before we boogie on out of here?
Yeah, I have good news.
You saved much money by switching your car insurance to Geico?
Yeah, that and the Ravens lost the preseason game. Finally, it's over. Nobody cares. It's over.
The fact that they were trying is to me, just the fun, you know, like, why are you hanging? Like, again, it's more of a statistical anomaly to me than anything to hang your hat on. Like, you guys have two titles in 20 years. That's impressive. Winning 24 straight preseason games is dumb.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say. Outside of that, again, the Bengals play Saturday evening, 6:30 in Washington. We are so much closer to real football. We are so much closer to everybody who wants to come say hi to us, being able to hang out with us at the stretch, 4 o'clock on September 9th, Saturday, Freedom Way near Great American Ballpark. We'd love to see everybody. I know we don't have a ton of reach here. Everybody. It's, you know, if you're in the Cincinnati area, come by.
It's going to be a lot of fun. That day's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to try to be sober enough to drive home after the Reds game later. I might have to do an Uber. We'll see about that. So
good luck.
Outside of that, guys, we will be back next week to recap this, and it'll be time to start ramping up and previewing the season. I'm excited. Let's go.
Hootay.
Greg, take care. Everybody, hootay.